Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Today we return again to the first epistle of St. Peter, the fifth chapter, reading verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. This is the word of God. In our Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you, dear friends in Christ. As we began discussing last week, human plans often have unintended consequences. And sometimes those unintended consequences can achieve the exact opposite effect of what the planners originally intended. During British colonial rule of India, the government noticed that there were large numbers of venomous cobras in the area of Delhi. So they decided to do something about it, and they began offering a large bounty for every dead cobra. This worked for a while. But very soon, as with a lot of big government programs, people began to game the system. And before long, there were intrepid businessmen who decided to breed cobras for the purpose of collecting the bounty. When the government found out about it, of course, they abruptly ceased the program, whereupon all those breeders were left with thousands of snakes that were worthless. And guess what they did with them? They released them, leaving Delhi with a cobra problem much worse than it had been before the program began. Last week we asked the question, is it possible to have plans for your future and get all the intended beneficial consequences and no unintended consequences? And the answer, you recall, is yes, if God is the one who is dictating those consequences for you. That's why we've been considering the theme, God's intended consequences. And here's the second of these. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I wonder if you've ever heard a lion's roar. For real, I mean, not just on television. Male lions can reportedly roar at 115 decibels, approximately the volume of a jet engine. It's possible to hear a lion's roar from over 6 miles away, roughly from here to Chippewa Falls. And people familiar with Africa say that that can be one of the most terrifying sounds you will ever hear. And why is that? Because it is a dangerous animal. Why does the Holy Spirit choose this expression in particular here in our text and compare the devil to a roaring lion? Because our adversary should not be taken lightly. We'd be fools to underestimate him. Thanks to Scripture, we know exactly what the devil's intended consequences for you are. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, seeking victims that he can gulp down whole. That's what that word means, by the way. We know the danger, don't we? We feel the devil's temptations. And yet, very often, we see the devil approaching and we do nothing. We stand there like deer in the headlights. You feel the temptation to sin. You know it's the devil attacking you. And yet, you do nothing. In fact, don't we sometimes put ourselves in the way of temptation? Don't we sometimes, in effect, go halfway out to meet the devil? Have you ever been guilty of that sin? I certainly have. By the way, the word adversary, that's an interesting word too. It's a courtroom term. It means accuser, someone who speaks against you like a prosecuting attorney. And that's the main thing the devil does, isn't it? He speaks against you. He whispers in your ear, remember those sins that you committed? How can you call yourself a Christian? How are you ever expecting to get into heaven with that thing that you've done? Other people maybe, but not you. He batters at your conscience. He tries to strip you of your faith in Christ. He attempts to make you despair with his relentless accusations. And he's got a strong case. But take courage. No, you haven't always resisted the devil as you should, but there's one person who did. You may have to admit that you've been an utter failure, but there's one person who was a shining success. Jesus, your champion. He resisted and overcame Satan on your behalf. He overcame every temptation that the devil presented him with. The writer of the Hebrews gives us a comforting reminder. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows your every temptation. Someone aptly said that no one knows the real sharpness of temptation as much as someone who has successfully resisted it. And that's Jesus. He defeated the devil for you so that you could share in his eternal glory. He poured out his blood on that skull-shaped hill of Golgotha so that you could be redeemed forever. In his love for you, the Lamb of God sacrificed himself so that you could become a Lamb of God, safely cradled in the arms of your Good Shepherd, so that you could be God's own holy child, bound for everlasting glory. Your victory over the devil is one of God's intended consequences. It has already been assured to you by Christ. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do this, and this will happen. That's a promise from the Lord. Your Savior even demonstrates how to do it. Resist the devil the way Jesus resisted him in the wilderness, by going to the saving word of God that can strengthen your faith and give you the power that you need. When you feel the tug of temptation, go immediately to your Bible. Be aware, the devil's going to make that real hard for you to do, but he must wither before your believing resistance. When you feel your faith is weakening, go by all means to the house of God to hear his holy word preached and to get the encouragement and the edification of being with your fellow believers. Now the devil's going to give you 1,000 reasons to skip church, but resist him. And by Christ's power, he must flee from you. Writing on this passage, Martin Luther said, "Yes, you must be sober and vigilant in order that the body may be ready. But this does not yet vanquish the devil. It is done only in order that you may give the body less reason to sin. The true sword is your strong and firm faith. If you take hold of God's word in your heart and cling to it with faith, the devil cannot win, but must flee." Those are very encouraging words for us to hear 500 years on from a man who knew what temptation was. But he was also a man who learned in the crucible of trial what God's gracious intended consequences are, and that they cannot fail and will never fail forever and ever. Amen. The first two stanzas of hymn 444.